How can you find blessings in the middle of a cursed world?
Join us this morning on Wake Up with Hope to find out and be inspired.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. We can't wait to kick off today's program.
We are so happy to be here, and it's a lovely Friday morning, and winter is right around the corner. Yeah. We are officially 5 days away from the start of winter. Are you looking forward to this season? What do you enjoy the most? What do you like the most about winter, honey?
Oh, you know, I have really enjoyed skiing.
Yes.
It's been great fun.
We used to live in Colorado,
yeah.
So we were right there with those mountains.
It was a blast.
It was really neat.
And snowboarding is not as easy as it looks.
That's true.
I can tell you that.
What about ice skating? I like to ice skate.
Yeah, that's always fun.
And we both like to sled.
Oh, yeah. Elijah and Mariah love to go downhill sledding.
Yeah.
You know, there's always nice things we can enjoy each season. God is so good. He gives us a variety of seasons to just delight in. Well, we have much to share with you on today's program, but first, let's take a look back at this day in history.
On December 16, 1893, the Philharmonic Society of New York gave the world premiere performance of Czech composer Antonin Dvořák's Symphony No. 9 in E minor from the New World at Carnegie Hall. In his review of the performance the following day, New York Times music critic W.J. Henderson called the piece, better known today as the New World Symphony, a vigorous and beautiful work that must take the place among the finest works in this form produced since the death of Beethoven. But in a review that ran close to 2,000 words, Henderson devoted perhaps 90% of his attention not to praising the artistic merit and craftsmanship of the New World Symphony, but rather to defending the controversial and ultimately political choices made by its composer. At a time when composers and critics in the United States were straining to identify and foster a uniquely American sound, the Czech immigrant Dvořák's work suggested that the basis for such a sound was to be found not in the European tradition, but in the music of African Americans.
There was something iconic and legendary in going back to the ancients to find the rhythm and sound he wanted to convey. You know, we too can learn that there is value in going back to the ancients to find wisdom. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. You know, there's no question the world is changing. And has drastically changed since the time of the biblical patriarchs and even the time of Jesus. However, the Bible has remained unchanged. Our God remains unchanging and unchangeable. And there's still only one way to find true rest, one way to find true peace and happiness for our souls. Find the old paths, the way of the Lord that has existed from way back when, and following it, it is the good way.
Amen. You know, in the beginning, God covered the ground with only beautiful plants. Plants that were good for food and pleasing to the eye. It was only after sin came into the world that the ground was cursed with thorns, thistles, and poisonous plants. The Bible says the ground was cursed for man's sake, but even in the curse, spiritual blessings would be found. Listen to evangelist Taj Pachleb share a deep spiritual lesson of life from the symbol of the thorny acacia trees of the Masai Mara.
Walking upon the open plains of the Masai Mara can be quite dangerous. This is the land where many dangerous animals roam freely. It is both the hunting ground and the home of the lion, the leopard, and the cheetah. But besides all the wild animals around us, there's something that is scattered all over the ground that can cause a lot of trouble. Kenya has some of the biggest thorns I've ever seen. Up to 4 inches long, they are sharp, strong, and very dangerous. The people of this land use these thorns as walls to protect their villages. These sharp-pointed thorns are like mini spears, enough to deter the hungry lions and even the gigantic elephants from coming near to the walls. In the beginning, God covered the ground with only beautiful plants, plants that were good for food and pleasing to the eye. It was only after sin came into the world that the ground was cursed with thorns, thistles, and poisonous plants. The Bible says that the ground was cursed for man's sake, but even in the curse, spiritual blessings would be found. For it was through the difficulties of cultivating a cursed ground that man would better appreciate the blessings of God's provision. The thorns and thistles are a perpetual reminder of the fallen state of our world. It reminds us that so long as we're separated from God by our sins, we are not completely safe. As the thorns have the power to pierce the flesh, so has sin penetrated the human experience. Here on the plains of the Masai Mara, it is the mighty acacia tree that dominates the landscape. This thorny tree was the one God instructed his people to use to build the holy ark in the sanctuary. The holy ark was a wooden chest overlaid with gold. It housed the holy law of God and was covered with the golden mercy seat. It was a symbol of the very throne of God, the throne of grace. This wooden chest, made from the thorny acacia and covered with pure gold, was also a symbol of sinful humanity being covered with perfect divinity. It was an object lesson teaching us of how God desires to cover our thorny wooden wretchedness with his glorious golden righteousness. The divine king wants to make us an ark to house his holy law as he writes those divine precepts upon the table of our heart. For it is upon the throne of our heart that Jesus desires to sit as the king of our lives. Now God could have chosen any tree, but he chose the thorny, crooked acacia to let us know that though we are suffering under the curse of sin, he still desires to live in our hearts, for he is the king of thorns. When Jesus came to the open plains of our world, he would also change the symbol of the thorn. From a symbol of the curse, he would change it into a symbol of salvation. He, the majesty of the heavens, the one whom angels bow down and call holy, the mighty maker of heaven and earth, condescended to this thorny world of sin in order to reverse the curse. He allowed himself to be coronated, not with a golden glittering diadem, but with a crown of piercing thorns. And as those tiny spears pierced his temple, the crimson blood for our redemption flowed out, providing healing and cleansing to all of us who are under the curse of sin. He took our pain that we might have his peace. He took our curse that we might receive his blessing. He took our death that we might live his life, for he is the king of thorns. So every time you see the thorn or get one stuck in your foot, let it be a reminder of the danger that we're in living in this world of sin. But let it also remind you of the one who wore the crown of thorns for you, the one that loves you and desires to cover you, cleanse you, change you, empower you, and live in you as the King and Lord of your life. Give to Jesus your painful thorns, and he will give you his abiding peace. Give to him your thorny heart, and he will make it into a holy ark, that in your chest, God's law will be written, and his will shall be accomplished. And then you will become his mercy seat, his throne of grace. And may it be that through your life, Jesus will ever be exalted and uplifted as upon a throne, not only as the golden king of Shekinah glory, but as the redeeming king of the acacia thorns.
Are you enjoying today's program, friends? Please share it with your family or friends and let them know about our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. Also, check out our YouTube page and keep up with us there.
When we return, Ronnie Mills will join us. Welcome back. You know, it's a lovely December morning on Wake Up With Hope. We're enjoying spending this time with you.
Yes, we are. And right now, Ronnie Mills from our very own Hope Channel is back to share with us today. Ronnie?
Good morning, Saints, and happy Friday. We are living in unique times. Every day, we're seeing reminders that the soon return of Christ is getting closer day by day. At Hope Channel, we are working hard to help fulfill Christ's great commission because we don't want anyone left behind. Therefore, I'm thrilled to have as our guest today, Mr. Joe Sloan, Director of International Development for Hope Channel. Welcome, Joe, to Wake Up with Hope.
Thank you, Ronnie. Glad to be here.
Please tell our audience regarding the exciting initiative that Hope Channel is involved in to tell the world regarding Christ's imminent return.
Thank you, Ronnie. The initiative is called 3 AM for Three Angels Messages, and it relates to Revelation 14, the last gospel cry of the New Testament, in which a special message goes out in the end times. The initiative is to get as many channels as possible and as many languages as possible to create videos that can be used to extend this message to those that have never heard it, particularly the youth.
And how many channels will be involved in this new initiative?
Well, the plan is to do at least 70 languages. We've already done 30, and those 30 involve about 25 channels. To do 70 is probably about 45 to 50 channels.
What is some of the initial feedback that you have received regarding the project?
Well, Ronnie, we've received a lot of feedback. There's been tens of thousands of people who have watched these videos. But some of it that we can relate here on the air from Bernardo, this has been the best explanation in short form that I have ever heard. From Robin, we've received, awesome. Thank you for such a well done video. Jamar tells us, very informative and powerful. And Maud wrote in saying, amen. The three angels message is a blessed gift to the church. We praise God for the inspiration.
Wow, Joe, thank you for sharing that feedback, and thank you for tuning in today. Your support will enable more people to respond, and here's some of the great feedback that we heard today who will be excited about this project. This can only happen due to your support. Call in today at 1-888-446-7388. That's 1-888-446-7388. Or donate online at hopetv.org/donate. That's hopetv.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Thank you, Ronnie. That was great. Well, we have to take a short break now, but stay with us.
After the break, we will have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for being with us this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley.
The book of Proverbs is a really an amazing book. If I was asked to summarize the book of Proverbs with words, I think my words would begin with W. Book of Proverbs can be summarized by the word wisdom. God's wisdom is all through the book. Secondly, the book of Proverbs can be summarized by willingness. That's our willingness to serve God, our willingness to obey God. Thirdly, the book of Proverbs can be summarized by women. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there's a lot about godly women, women that know God. And there's also a lot about respect for women, positive marital relationships. In the book of Proverbs, there's a lot about work, diligence, faithfulness in work. And in the book of Proverbs, we see a lot about our words. So those five W's summarize the entire book of Proverbs. What are they again? They are wisdom and willingness and women and work and our words. Let's look at what some of the book of Proverbs says about words and how powerful they are. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Our words really have unusual power to encourage or to discourage, to uplift or to press down, to bring joy or sorrow. And Solomon understood that clearly. He repeatedly speaks of the positive or negative effect of our words in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 12, verse 25, he says, heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. The word heaviness here can be also translated as care or anxiety. Anxiety is like a heavy weight, crushing our soul and destroying our spirit and taking away our joy. Our heaviness is lightened by encouraging words spoken by another. One day, Thomas Edison was just a boy. He came home from school that day and gave a paper to his mother. He told her, "My teacher gave this paper to me and told me to only give it to my mother." His mother's eyes were tearful as she opened the envelope and read the letter out loud to her child. She read, "Your son is a genius. The school is too small for him and doesn't have enough good teachers to teach him and train him. Please teach him yourself." She did. Thomas Edison's mother became his teacher, and she homeschooled him through many years. Years later, after Edison's mother died, he was now one of the greatest inventors of the century. One day, he was looking through some old family heirlooms and things when he came across a folded paper in the corner of a drawer in the desk. Edison took it out and opened it up. On the paper, and he immediately recognized it, incidentally, as the paper that his mother had read many, many years before when she homeschooled him, the paper that she read that he was a genius. On the paper, it read this: "Your son is mentally challenged and unable to think clearly. We won't let him come to our school anymore." Thomas Edison just cried and cried for hours. Then he wrote in his diary, "Thomas Alva Edison was a mentally challenged child that by a hero mother became the genius of the century." Her words made all the difference to Thomas Edison. Words that could have discouraged him, she picked up that piece of paper and she read it not that her son was mentally challenged. She didn't see him that way. Not that her son was an imbecile behind the scenes. You see, the school just didn't know how to deal with a genius, and he was so far ahead that he got bored in his studies. She read not what the paper said, but what she saw in her son. And those words made such a powerful difference. You know, as we speak hopeful words to others, we can inspire the genius in them. You may be inspiring the genius of the century, and you may not even realize it. So Proverbs talks about our words. It talks about speaking hopeful words and encouraging words. Proverbs often talks about another type of word as well. In Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Have you ever noticed how a soft answer can turn away wrath? I learned kind of a precious little lesson from my grandson. When he was just a little boy, he was going to school. He's now in the eighth grade, but this happened when he was about in the first grade, maybe the second grade, just a youngster. He was standing in line, and a little girl was standing behind him. And as they were getting ready to go into the school, you know, as the children lined up, she looked at him and she looked at his shoes. Then she looked at him and looked at his shoes again. Then she looked at him and she said, "You know what? Your shoes are ugly." Now, what did our Bible text say? A soft answer does what? Turns away wrath. I learned a lot from my little grandson. She said, "Your shoes are ugly." He looked at her and he smiled and he said, "My, your shoes are beautiful." And the little girl didn't know what to say. I mean, that settled the issue, you see. A soft answer turns away wrath. When you are tempted to speak fretful, irritating, tense, anxious, hurtful words, remember what Proverbs says: a soft answer will turn away wrath. It kind of dissipates the situation. When I am in a committee Thus, I see tension flaring. I try to say, what can I say that will defuse this situation? What can I say to lower the temperature in this room? When I see people in conflict, you ask yourself the question, what can I say? How can I defuse this? So we have read two Bible texts that are critical about our words. First, that discouraging words create a heaviness of heart which presses people down, and it's like they're carrying this heavy, heavy burden. That hopeful words encourage the heart, and they inspire, they lift up. We've also read that a soft answer, a gentle answer, a kind answer turns away all wrath. It diffuses the situation. As you go out and walk through your world today, there'll be many different kind of words that are spoken. Some words will encourage you, some words will discourage you. Some words will bring joy, and some words will bring sorrow. Some words will be words of encouragement, appreciation. Other words may be words of discouragement. But you and I need not let others' reactions determine our responses. We can determine to speak positive words, encouraging words, to be ambassadors of hope and inspire others with their very, very best. To lift others' spirits by the words we speak is the counsel of Solomon.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mark, for those inspiring words.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
We look forward to starting the new week with you, so don't forget to join us on Monday morning, same time, same place. We will have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious peanut Thai noodle recipe from Gia and her clan, and we will talk about finding strength to love even when someone wrongs us. If you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. Now, we can't leave without sharing with you a Bible promise for the weekend. Today's Bible promise comes from Psalm chapter 72, verse 13.
It says, "He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death."
Amen. You know, we hope that you keep this promise in your heart. It's an amazing promise that will carry you through whatever you're facing. We truly wish you have a blessed weekend. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, with promises like this, we cannot fail. With promises like this, Lord, there is no place for discouragement or fear, because we have the sure word of God deep within our hearts. And today, Lord, we pray that you will guard our hearts, keep us faithful, keep everything that we experience today through music, through your word, through instruction and inspiration. May we all treasure it all in our hearts so we can, Lord, keep our focus on you. So thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Thank you for blessing us so richly today. In Jesus' name, amen.